Okay, well, I think we can. Let me start this again. So bad at introduction. This is the fifth Naman Talk for June 2007. The Naman Talks are a series of interviews with personalities in the domain of human computer interaction who have ideas deserving a closer look. My name is Johannes van der Meulen, and today we are having Jean van der Donct, who leads the BKI lab at the Université Catholique de Louvain in Belgium. BKI stands for Belgian Computer Human Interaction Lab, and it's a research unit in a department which is probably in the United States will be called an informatics department. Jean, welcome. Today. What kind of people do you have in your department?
Hello, Johannes. Thank you very much for your invitation. Right now we have different people having different backgrounds. Of course, most of them are computer scientists, but surprisingly, there are also people having a social science background or philosophy background. A sign that usually human-computer interaction is a multidisciplinary domain.
You've been working in this domain for almost 15 years now, and the domain is, I would loosely describe it as, the delivery of software tools for the systematic design and generation of user interfaces. Is that about right?
I think that's a pretty accurate statement. The ultimate goal is really to have a set of tools or techniques that will support you from the beginning to the end of the complete user interface development life cycle. So not just at the end when you have to program something, but also at the beginning when you want to explore design ideas.
By the way, since we're both Belgian, we could conduct this conversation in either French, Dutch, or English, but let's go for English, right?
Okay, as you wish.
the specific topic, the one keyword that covers the content of this talk is UZXML, which stands for User Interface Extensible Markup Language, spelled USIXML. Sort of your brainchild, well, many people in your lab have worked on this, among others, Quentin Lambourg, but you've been working in this domain for a long time, and you've what the result now is called UZXML. UZXML is one instance, I should say, of a user interface description language, UIDL. What is the purpose of UIDLs?
The main purpose of a user interface description language is to describe, to specify a user interface, but independently of any programming languages or any markup languages or any computing platforms. So if I take the analogy of a UML class diagram, for instance.
A UML.
UML, class, yes, that's right. In UML, I have a class diagram to specify the data structures and the relationships between this data, but it's independent of any programming language. So here, a user interface description language is the same as a class diagram, but for user interface.
If I have it right, one pretty prominent example of a UIDL is Microsoft's XAML, which is platform specific and specifically targeted towards Windows, is it not?
So that's right. So it's very tied to Windows environment, but of course it describes the user interface in a way that could be reused or could be retargeted to other platforms. For instance, if I want to have a Zool interface, I can transform this XAML description into a Zool interface.
Oh, you could?
Yes.
So transformations can take place. And,
right.
And Zool is another user interface description language?
Yes, that's right. Although it covers only some aspects, but it does that very well.
It's been there. This was a Mozilla initiative, right? Zool, it's been there for quite a while already.
That's right. Yeah. But it mostly covers graphical user interfaces for the web. Does a very good job at describing user interfaces for the web.
So Zool is spelled XUL.
That's right.
Yeah. Are there other examples of user interface description languages that you'd like to discuss?
Yes, there are quite a bunch. I think that the most advanced, or at least the most mature with respect to software tools, is UIML.
It's the most mature?
Yes. User Interface Markup Language. You can find more on www.uiml.org. This language has been introduced by an American company called Harmonia and is now subject to standardization with OASIS. So I think that's the most advanced because you can quickly produce user interfaces for voice XML, WML and Java at the same time. A second one is XIML, which comes from Stanford University and which is now promoted by a company called Red Whale Software Corporation in the US. Red Whale, like whale.
Oh, yes.
A software corporation. This language has been very promising for some years, but has received less interest than UIML in the US. Right now, the US Navy, for instance, is using UIML for some prototyping projects. On the other hand, almost any software vendor has its own user interface description language today, like Microsoft has XAML, the Mozilla Foundation has Zool, Adobe Corporation has the Flex language. So there are a lot of different user interface description language, and nobody really knows which one to adopt for which type of project.
Use the XML, which is your project. What's the background? Where are you coming from? And why is it different and better, possibly, than the other UIDLs?
Mm-hmm. First of all, some words of history. We were working in a European project called Chameleon, and where we have been using XIML for some time. And XIML imposes us to have a license. So if we want to produce user interface described with XIML, or if we want to develop tools around XIML, they forced us to have a license for every output on that. So the European Commission told us, we are in Europe, so you can't anymore rely on that scheme, so you have to introduce your own one. Mm-hmm. So the European project introduced UseXML, and today this effort is continuing with another European network of excellence, which is called Similar, and it will be again promoted with another project called Open Interface. Very recently, the Open Interface Foundation has been created to continue this effort.
So there's a lot of research money behind...
There has been most of them coming from the European Commission, mm-hmm. Because they explicitly said that we have to be independent from the American languages.
Right, so independence from the American languages is one advantage. We use the XML distinctive.
The most important aspect in UseXML is that it can cover different aspects that you don't have in other languages. For instance, I can specify or I can describe a user interface independently of any programming language or markup language. That's the first level. Or I can even describe a future user interface independently of any interaction modality or with respect to one modality. Like, I would like to have a graphical user interface, I would like to have a vocal version, or I would like to have a combination of them. Or I can have a tactile version for a tactile screen or for a wall screen. This is not usually supported by other types of languages. And at the last level, you have the task level where you can express how the user will see the interaction with the future system. Not in terms of the technology, but just in terms of the users. What type of action can the user do at what time and in which order? What type of information could the user expect to input or to receive from the system?
At this very high level of abstraction, you are approaching the specification of business processes, are you not?
That's almost close to the business process. I would say that a business process could be expressed in terms of tasks or in terms of a series of tasks. Mm-hmm. And each task can be, of course, covered by UseXML. So the business process is, of course, one level higher than we have right now, but it can be linked if we want to do so.
Right. So to sum it up, you have in the chameleon model, if I read correctly in the literature, there are four levels of abstraction, and all four levels of abstraction are covered by UseXML.
That's right. But you don't need necessarily to have all these different levels. It just depending on your project, depending on the user interface you want. So for instance, if you are more a designer, you can exactly initiate the process by, for instance, designing quickly user interface at the concrete level, and then have the model created for you automatically behind that. Or you can, for instance, start with the task model. You don't have right now an idea of the future interface, but you have a precise idea of how the user will interact with the system.
Can you briefly list the four levels? Because you just said you talk about task level, you talk about concrete user interface. What are the four levels in the chameleon model?
So the lowest level is the final user interface. So it is any user interface as you can see today in HTML, C Sharp, Java, or whatever.
So that's just the code, basically.
Yes.
The running code.
Yes, that's the user interface as we know it.
As we see it, as it runs on the machine.
Okay. That's right. Uh-huh. That's the final level.
Right.
On top of that, we have the concrete level. It means that if we have one particular interaction modality, for instance, a graphical, we want to express that independently. For instance, if I want to have a future graphical user interface, I would like to express it, but independently of those languages like HTML, C Sharp, or whatever. That's the second level. The third level is called the abstract user interface. It means it is abstracted with respect to the interaction modality. For instance, I would like to have a vocal user interface, a graphical one,
okay.
or a tactile
right.
one,
right.
or yes. a combination of them. And the fourth level is at the task level, where I would like to express how the user perceives the system.
Data inputs, sequence, outputs.
Yes, what type of user actions, what type of input, what type of output, in which order, how the user expects to perform his or her own task, but in natural way, not depending on the technology, but depending on the user requirements.
I have the impression that right now the user interface description languages are not used very often, at least not in the projects I've been involved with in any significant way. Have they come up? Why is that? And what remedies do you have in mind, if any, for that situation?
Mm-hmm. My feeling, but maybe I'm wrong, is that because there was no need to do so in the past. But right now, we have many different types of interactive systems with many types of devices, ranging from the mobile phone to PDA, internet screen phones, desktops, laptops. We have different channels. We have different interaction modalities. So it becomes almost difficult, or at least very challenging, to develop the same user interface for different types of platforms at the same time, or for different modalities at the same time.
If you don't mind, I take issue with that, and people do different things on different modalities. If you're sitting in front of your PC, yes, you'd like to look at mail, and you'd like to maybe do the same while looking at your BlackBerry. But isn't it a completely different environment where it is almost impossible to generate the same user interface from the same model of the task? Because, I mean, people do different things. For example, Messenger, I don't use Messenger, although I could, on my mobile phone. And I do use Messenger a lot while at the desktop. On the mobile phone, I'm more likely to use SMS. You do different things and with different modalities. The issue of multi-platform, multi-modality has been in existence for many, many years already. And my feeling is that these kind of languages, and this is again, a personal view, that these model-driven user interface generation approaches as yours are going to be extremely useful when we're talking about very high volume of screens to be generated automatically, starting from specified business processes. Or if there is a very large diversity, for example, the mobile phones, where right now there's a whole zoo of different interaction models and buttons and screen resolutions on the mobile phone. There you have one modality, but very different interaction methods, touch screens, yes and no. I mean, so I think that in that domain, in that arena, these kinds of things, these user interface description languages can become very useful. And also, of course, for tracking. I think tracking the design rationale and why certain decisions
right.
have been made.
Mm.
I mean, if you need a very systematic approach, I think, in critical systems, I think a model-driven user interface can be very, very useful. What do you think about this?
First, to come back to your example or to
yes.
your question with respect to the fact that people, of course, prefer to do different things on different platforms. but they could do the same task on different platforms, but with different variations. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. If I want to order a book on Amazon, for instance, or any similar system, if I'm on my desktop, I would like to browse the electronic catalog, I would like to see links, I would like to see recommendation, and once I have selected the books, I can go to payment. If I'm doing that on my mobile phone, I won't browse the electronic catalog, of course. But maybe I have an idea of what the author of the book is, or maybe I have an idea of what the title of the book is. So instead of browsing the entire catalog, I would like to search the database, have a quick reply to that, and perhaps order on that. So the same task could be performed on different platforms, but not in the same way. Well, with variations, or with sometimes something more or something less.
Yeah, but it's a nice example.
But in a model-driven approach, you can specify. So if you want to preserve the same user interface across all platforms, you could do that. But if you want to say different things on different platforms, you could do that as well.
Take that example of Amazon. I've read about this about a year ago, about an application where, with the new mobile phone technology, you can take a picture of the barcode of a book, and then that you transmit that barcode to Amazon, and Amazon gives you the catalog, the page.
The description of that book.
Mm-hmm. That's a different task. You would not do that at your desk. That's only something you do when you're carrying your mobile phone. It's a specific functionality for when you're on the road. So that's what I mean. I'm saying, you know, you do different things.
That's right. But at a certain level, your goal is the same, is to buy a book.
Yes, it is.
But you have different means to reach it. So you can capture those different ways depending on the platform, for instance.
There's also, of course, the high volume approach. I mean, and the critical systems, being able to trace the user interface decisions. How does that match, do you think, with the UIDL ID or UZXML in particular?
It is true to say that until now, probably the most important problem was high volume user interfaces. Mm-hmm. I have an example with UIML, for instance, which is the American language. The company which is promoting it has recently contracted a big project for US Navy. For one ship, they have 1,000 user interfaces to develop quickly, just for one ship. Right. So imagine that they have probably hundreds of different ships in the US Navy.
Right.
Of course, in this case, we can understand the benefit of it. But I think that's not the most important one. The most important one is to really capture the different aspects of the user interface development lifecycle when you discover them.
By aspects, you mean levels of abstraction?
Or? Yes, when you design them, when you explore them, when you test them with the users, and then you can capture these aspects, and then you can put that in the documentation or in the specification of the project. You also said that, of course, there is a code generation approach behind.
Code generation.
This is the predominant paradigm, is that you model it, and then the system does the job for you. It generates code for you in a short amount of time with a limited, let us say, usability, but with some usability, not the perfect one, but some usability. But I think that the most important aspect is not really in the code generation. It's really to capture the description of user interface as you want to do it or as you want to program it. For instance, if a designer sketch a user interface, he could do that quickly and then pass this specification to a developer who will be able to be very precise in respecting these specifications.
That approach sounds a little bit like waterfall, right?
That's right.
As you know, there's a lot of buzz about, and a lot of practice as well already, in agile techniques and agile methods for software development. Isn't this completely different? Isn't this incompatible with agile development methods?
I'm not sure whether it is incompatible. I think you can combine both. For instance, if I'm a designer and I want to quickly produce a user interface without any constraint, I want to draw it, to sketch it naturally, I can do that. And then the system will capture or will deduce the model from my sketch. And then if this sketch is validated, for instance, by the final user, we can proceed with other steps, like coming at a more abstract level, or make a connection with the domain, or making a connection with the task, something like that. So we can accommodate different paths possible, depending on how I would like to conduct the project. I can have a top-down approach, I can have a bottom-up, or I can start at any level between. and then continue.
You just said the developer draws a screen. What's the role of the professional specialized interaction designer, user interface designer, in your view?
My hope is to provide designers with very appropriate tool in order to help them to prototype quickly a user interface without coding things, just by describing things. So instead of asking maybe to the developer or trying to develop myself an HTML user interface just to have a quick prototype, mm-hmm. I prefer to draw it or I prefer to sketch it, and then the system will generate a model and maybe code later if I want to do so. But I prefer to focus first on the user interface to describe it, to draw it, than to program it.
And I assume you have some research going on in that direction?
I think that's one of the most important aspects today, yes. This is what we often refer to as sketching tools.
Okay, right. Because that's what interaction designers do. They sketch and they don't code.
Right.
Right, right.
Mm. And when a designer wants to prototype user interface, he does not necessarily want to program things. He wants to explore design ideas.
Another question. How does your research, which has been going on for quite a while now, how does it fit into the mainstream of HCI research? You know, you've been doing, since 1993, you've been doing the triannual, three-yearly, that is, Conference on Computer-Aided Design of User Interfaces. The first one was in Ulm, in Germany. There is the yearly workshop on task models and diagrams, Timodia. I attended the Timodia conference this year in Hasselt, here in Belgium as well. There appears to be a thriving community of mostly European researchers working in this domain, often coming from computer science, not as much from human factors or from ergonomics or interaction design.
Right.
So how does that community fit in with Acadia and the Timodia communities fit into the broader HCI research mm-hmm. context?
I would describe this as the software aspects of human-computer interaction. Human-computer interaction is usually interested by designing user interfaces, introducing new interaction techniques, or exploring new design ideas, not very much about the software aspects. So there are not many organizations which are putting some effort in that because it's very challenging. So I would say it is between human-computer interaction and software engineering.
And do you find it difficult to join these disciplines?
Yes, because if I'm talking to HCI people, they are not very much interested by software engineering aspects, but they are interested to have some method or to have some methodological guidance. On the other hand, in the software engineering, they have a lot of different development practices and development methods. You have mentioned some of them, like agile programming, extreme programming, etc.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned unified process.
Rational reunified process is one of them, but this is mostly coming from the software engineering domain.
Yeah.
So could we imagine to have something similar but in the HCI domain? I think that's the challenge.
Okay, so to have as much as UML and the unified process is at least is common practice or at least a source of inspiration for many software engineering
yes.
teams, we could have the same.
Why don't we have just another UML model for the user interface, for instance.
Right. Yes, and that is indeed sorely lacking in
because
the
UML covers many other aspects like activities, collaborations, messages, classes, etc., but not the user interface, surprisingly.
Well, maybe because I felt it was too much of a moving target. Because there's a lot of changes in how user interfaces are being done right now. Maybe it's something they want to get into or. Well, maybe because UML is mostly an analysis specification language and not, I mean, they view probably the user interface as being too concrete and too close to implementation. Well, we can only guess. What's happening at W3C?
So right now there is a standardization effort put on user interface description language. W3C has recently created a group called web application format, where they try to standardize the way a widget could be described. Not only a widget, but of course a user interface composed of widgets. But it is an ongoing effort right now. A second initiative is from the OASIS organization. what it is more governed by American, let's say, organization. But I think that they are more, a little bit more advanced than W3C, because they have already voted a very first version of user interface description language, which is available right now.
Right.
As opposed to W3C effort, which is an ongoing effort, but there is no public version of that right now.
Yeah, and are you involved in that in any way?
Yes, we are a member of the W3C consortium, and we are participating to that group. But there is also a brand new group called Ubiquitous Web Applications, where they are interested by having a declaration of the models for an entire web application. So it could be a rich internet application, it could be a Java-based one or whatever. These are very recent efforts, so we don't see yet concrete outputs, I mean, for the industry right now, but they will come maybe in 1 or 2 years.
How do you see UZXML evolving over the coming years? What's the future looking like?
There are two ways where it could evolve. First, the definition of the language itself. So it needs more large-scale case studies. Right now we have had only, let's just say, small or medium case studies. So we have to gain more maturity about the definition of the language itself. But I think that the most critical part is from the tool part. If we don't have very good software for supporting that, if it's just for describing or specifying things, people won't use it.
To the close of the discussion, I'd like you to say how UZXML is different from other languages. What is, or is its distinctive advantage by which you can claim adopt UZXML and do mm-hmm. not adopt another user interface description language? Or maybe you don't want to get into that kind of competitive behavior, but can you do the pitch for us?
Of course, we'll never compete with big initiatives like XAML from Microsoft or Zool from the Mozilla Foundation, even if today UZXML is supported by a similar network of excellence, which is a European initiative. So we'll never compete with them. But the big difference is that we cover aspects that they don't cover. So at the very concrete level, for instance, for graphical user interface, they do a better job than we do. However, they don't do anything for the design phase, or they don't do anything for the task modeling, for instance.
Right. So that's that highest level of abstraction mm-hmm. where you excel. And indeed, I see a great advantage there in linking up to the business process modeling.
Right, and also linking it to the context of use. So for instance, in UZXML, the context of use means three things. Who is the user? What type of platforms the user is using every day? And in which environment is this person using his or her own platform? So any variation on that, you can also describe them and make a link to different user interface. For instance, you can specify the same user interface in different languages, or you can specify the same for different platforms or for different modalities. For instance, if I want to register for a newsletter,
yes,
for instance on the web, I can do the same thing but on different platforms or on different modalities. So this is described through the notion of the context of use, if I want to do so, mm-hmm. but I'm not necessarily forced to do so.
Well, thank you, Jean. I think we'll close the interview here. Thank mm-hmm. you for your time. And you have something else to say?
If you really want to see one commercial output of that, yes. right now, today, there is a Spanish software called Oliva Nova. Perhaps you have already seen it. It's a commercial software sold by a Spanish company, and you can download a trial version, and they really do apply one small portion of UZXML in their process.
Oliva Nova?
Oliva Nova, yes. So it's, you can go to www.care-t.com. You can download a trial version of that. For instance, you can model your entire system, and it generates code for you in Java, in HTML, and in C# today, and which is very, very powerful.
So Oliva Nova?
That's the name of the software.
Care
Technology is the name of the company which okay. is selling this. Another one, for instance, there is also a Belgian company called Defi Media, which is developing content management systems for different organizations. So they have developed a very small user interface editor you can give in the hands of almost everybody. And then you can draw your user interface, and the system produce everything for you behind that. For developers, for the
also
rest of
based on UZXML concepts.
A small portion of it, yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, and hope to hear much more from you.
Thank you very much for your invitation, And also thank you very much for to Naman, because I think that's a very good initiative, and I want also to testify that Naman is very good in user interface design and very serious on that. This is also a sign.
Well, thank you.